Hey, it's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. 4 years ago, Appleton became the first city to bring No Mow May to the United States, an environmental campaign that encourages people to avoid mowing their lawns in May to support pollinators and biodiversity. Since then, more communities across the state have adopted similar calls to action. But earlier this month, Appleton's Common Council voted unanimously to pivot, reinstating height restrictions for grass year-round. They're now promoting instead slow-mow summer. Appleton Council President Katie Van Zeelen joins us for a look at the decision to change from no-mow to slow-mow. Alder Van Zeelen, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So why, after becoming, I think, the first U.S. city to take on No Mow May, why has the Common Council moved away from that to this slow-mo summer idea?
Well, I think everybody in Appleton is very proud of being the first city to really adopt No Mow May. And I think we're looking more at moving forward from No Mow May. We've got a lot of participation, but with lots of rain, like we had in the last spring, we had some yards that looked like full-grown prairies. And in a city like Appleton, we do have a lot of people who really care about their lawn. You know, it's a ritual. How do I mow my grass in a certain direction? You know, you have to find that balance so that everybody is happy. And we just looked at what our citizens were telling us, along with the science that we have now that has progressed much more in the last couple of years, that tells us that it's not really the long grass that is helping the pollinators, and that it's actually not great for the turf either. So slow-mow May is more of a comprehensive approach that seems to work for everyone.
And to explain to people who may not have encountered No Mow May, this wasn't a law that said you can't mow your lawn in May,
No. Right?
It was just kind of having this moratorium on the height restriction for that month. Do I have that right?
That's correct. During the month of May, there was no 8-inch lawn height that anybody had to meet within the city. They were allowed to, only for the month of May, to let that grass grow as long as they'd like, to make sure that the pollinators had a safe habitat in the springtime.
Talk about how slow-mo summer is going to work. This is more of a kind of encouragement campaign, if I understand it.
Yeah, that's correct. And I think it's something that is more doable for everyone. Not everybody wants to be able to mow their lawn once a month, which is really tough sometimes at the end of the month. You need some industrial lawnmowers to get through the prairie. This is something that everybody can do. It's good for the pollinators. It's good for your grass and for your turf. It makes neighbors happy if they're the kind who are very, let's say, invested in the look of the grass in the neighborhood. And we're hopeful that this is something that people can do to contribute for more than just the month of May.
As you mentioned, the heart of this is trying to help pollinators in the city of Appleton and beyond for that matter. Can you talk about why the city council took on this issue and wanted to get involved in protecting this this part of the ecosystem?
Sure. Well, I think everybody can see that the climate is changing. Our spring times are getting wetter. We are looking for ways to do better with sustainability and to help the natural habitat in our city. We have a university in Appleton. It's Lawrence University. And one of the professors who came to the city council to talk about this had done some research. And just the preliminary research looked like it was something that was very helpful. And we really had a lot of energy from citizens around here who were looking for something that they could do, something simple, something to make them feel maybe a little less out of control with climate change. So that's something that the city council took seriously when it was brought to us. You know, we decided to give it a try, and the citizens of Appleton really liked it.
What has been the response this month now that the decision's been made? Okay, NOMO may maybe not the best approach. We're going to go with this slow-mo summer. What are you hearing from people in the community?
I think people in the community are very happy about this change. Again, it's not something that we just did willy-nilly. There's science now that tells us how to do this better. And I think what NOMO May did for the city of Appleton was it really got people who had never engaged in something like this before to give it a try and to see that really it wasn't the end of the world if their neighbor's grass was a little longer than normal. That it was something that we were all doing for good. And it really was motivating to people. And now what we see is those people are looking to do more. And we're really doing, saving pollinators 2.0. We don't see this as a step backwards. We see this as a step forward.
Now, I used to cover city council meetings. I know Alder is a job where any decision, you're going to hear about it, including from your own neighbors, because you live in the neighborhood.
Sometimes your own husband.
Right. On the scale of issues that you've addressed on the city council there in Appleton, how much are you hearing from people about this? How excited are people one way or another on this issue?
Well, I think early on, there was a lot of fear. You know, anytime we're looking at changing things that people do regularly, you deal with a little bit of fear of what the unknown might be. And luckily, the first 2 years, we didn't have such a rainy spring. So everybody kind of understood that we're all in this together. We're all working together. And at the end of May, that grass is going to get lowered and we're going to keep up the rest of the year. And it really, the first year, there were some grumblings, I would say. But by the next year, really, most people had realized it wasn't the end of the world. And I think we're seeing the same thing here. I would say way less pushback from citizens because they trust now that we are looking at the data and that we are taking everybody's considerations into account when we make these decisions.
Alder Van Zeeland, thanks so much for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
That was Katie Van Zeeland, Appleton Common Council president, talking about the city's decision to reinstate height restrictions on grass year-round. Now we turn to Brad Garrity, site manager for the Thousand Islands Environmental Center in Kaukauna. The center promotes reducing the frequency of mowing rather than stopping altogether. Brad, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Now, you were a little bit of ahead of Appleton on this change now. Kaukauna ended NOMO May in 2023. We've got a summer, now part of a summer with slow-mo going on. Has it been a positive change so far?
Absolutely. It's been a positive change that has been embraced by the community here in Kaukauna, partly because of being able to help pollinators while also respecting our noxious weed ordinances and the people around us, but also because we are now promoting supporting pollinators all growing season long from March until November and beyond.
Let's talk directly now to somebody who has a lawn. They're on board with the idea like, yeah, I want to use my lawn to help pollinators. Sure. Talk through some of the basics of what they might do differently if they adopt this slow-mo summer approach.
Okay, like I mentioned, we start all the way in March with our suggestions, which is, you know, in March, everybody wants to get out there and do their yard work on the first nice day. And we really press to leave that old garden growth, start planting native plants, and then trim back your old growth. Now, as for mowing your lawn, what we are talking about is mowing it only when it's at 6 inches. And then at that time, keeping it at a height of about 4 inches tall. Like the alder had mentioned, that's good for your turf as well, because you're only taking off a third of your lawn's height, which helps the root systems and the proper health of your lawn.
This all sounded pretty good to me because I'm a procrastinator by nature, really, just by putting things off for a while, mowing, cleaning up that yard waste in the spring, that actually makes a difference.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because the pollinators are hibernating, sometimes they don't even emerge until after May. And that's why going from no-mow May to slow-mow summer also helps that. I mean, the goal of it is really to mow lawns after the flowers bloom instead of before.
Let's name some names. What are some of the pollinating species that can benefit from this approach?
Well, actually, there's lots of different pollinators out there. Of course, we know about bumblebees and that kind of thing, but there's also hummingbirds, birds, bats, butterflies, small mammals, and surprisingly to a lot of people, moths are actually the largest pollinators that there are out there by numbers.
Now, no-mow May. There was, and I heard from some callers who didn't like the idea back when that started to become a thing. And I gotta say, I tried it in my own lawn, and yeah, it felt a little out of control. Do you worry that the sort of backlash against no-mow May have set back the idea of people helping protect pollinators?
Well, I don't think it set it back. I think that there was, especially in our community, there was trepidation about no-mow May initially. And that's because of the appearance of the lawns, the overgrowth. There are noxious weeds that do other harm. So I really think that doing this, going to slow-mow summer, open this up to more people who maybe had trepidation about no-mow May, because now there's other ways besides just the lawn mowing that you can support pollinators and help keep those populations healthy.
I wanted to ask about that. It isn't just a story of mow, don't mow. What are some of the other things we can do in our lawn, or maybe, some of those beds, the garden beds alongside the lawn that can help those pollinators?
Absolutely. Well, for July, for example, one of the things is to mow closer to the evenings when pollinator activity is lower and reduce your disturbance of their habitat. Also in the summer, make sure you have a safe water source available in your yard for bees and other pollinators. They don't land in the water, so we have, for example, little dishes of sand that we put water in, and then the pollinators can land on there and drink water. As for your garden, once you get into September and October, we really do stress leaving your old plant growth in place and leaving your leaves on the lawn as well. So we're really taking away all your chores, and it's for the benefit of all of us.
Now, a lot of times with lawns, people want exactly one species in those lawns, the blades of grass. Is there a benefit to letting not those noxious weeds you were talking about, but letting smaller flowering things ride along with our lawns?
Absolutely. In our lawns already, we have dandelions, white clover, some of the creeping Charlie. They're perceived as weeds, but they provide important food for pollinators. Now, not letting that overtake your lawn. If you do like a nice green carpet lawn, that's just fine. But you can change kind of your habits and the way that you do things to make sure that those flowering plants are there to provide pollen for the pollinators to spread around.
Are you doing things to try to measure success to see if, people doing the slow-mo summer approach actually makes a difference for the diversity of pollinators?
Well, there are, as the Alder had mentioned, there's new science that's changing what we're doing here. And really, the best way that we see results from this is by getting involved in citizen science as well, doing studies in your own yard and promoting that. Now, there is an organization called the Wisconsin Bumblebee Brigade, and they promote getting involved by looking at counting numbers of pollinators in your yard. If you can't necessarily tell us what species there are, but you monitor your own yard, and then you would report that in to the Bumblebee Brigade, and they can compile that data and show really the results of what's happening, show that there's an increase in the amount of pollinators in the state of Wisconsin.
Are you seeing people in Kaukauna step up and embrace that and do some of that citizen science?
Absolutely. Yes, we are. We have lots of people that are participating in the slow-mo summer, and they see us doing it here at Thousand Islands and also in our parks and public green spaces. And they are joining the Wisconsin Bumblebee Brigade to report that. And a lot of times we do hear down here at the Nature Center, people say, "Oh, I saw hummingbirds. I saw I think I saw a rusty patch bumblebee. I'm not sure. So people are really getting involved and starting to get into the science of that, not only for the numbers, but also what species are in their yard. It's very interesting, and it's a learning opportunity for people of all ages.
Brad, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks again for having me speak with Wisconsin.
Brad Garrity is the site manager for the Thousand Islands Environmental Center in Kaukauna. Earlier, we heard from Appleton Common Council President Katie Van Zeeland. Lori from Hortonville wrote in on the topic. Lori has lived on an acre and a half of land for the past 18 years, only mows a small portion, less than a third of an acre. The rest is planted with native plants and attracts all manner of insects and birds. Lori says, makes us feel like we're doing something to offset the destruction we humans wreak on a daily basis, even as their neighbors' lawns look like, Lori says, quote, golf courses. Thanks for writing in, Lori. You can join the conversation, too. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org.